by the gate. Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a crippled was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are.
And a good afternoon to you. Pastor Eddie Conard sitting in for Pastor Barton this afternoon. And they are, I believe, all on the Academy field trip, just getting back. Probably be a little bit later on, I believe. And so glad to be with you this afternoon and sitting in, counted an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. It's been a kind of an off and on weather day wise with clouds and showers and sunshine and all of it mixed in one bag. We'll take a look at that forecast coming up in a little bit along with traffic here in just a few minutes.
But life finds a way of taking our dreams away when our plans unravel at the seams. And though you feel small in God's eyes, you'll stand tall if your footsteps are faithful and true. For the same power that raised Lazarus up from the grave is the same power Jesus gives to you. Great things are in store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the backs of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going to do great things. I won't worry if I'm never famous, or for those worldly pleasures I've missed. For Jesus gave me sweet peace like a river. Tell me what could be greater than this? Great things are in store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the backs of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going to do great things. Great things.
Yeah, and with that very familiar song, thank you for joining us for drive time and prayer time this afternoon. Again, Pastor Eddie Conard sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton. Appreciate him so very much, and boy, appreciate what the Lord is doing. Glad that you're on board with us this afternoon. And those of you that may be wondering, we do not have our Facebook Live feed today, and so if you happen to wonder where that is, we've got limited staff here today. Everybody's out and about doing other projects today and got other stuff going on with the Academy and such. So, again, if you're wondering about that, but glad that you're able to join us via the AM, WGCR AM 720, and, of course, 94.9 on the FM. And you may be listening by way of the app today. Glad that you're joining us by way of the app. And hope that you had a wonderful day today. Of course, if you'd like to correspond with us, you can give us a call at 828-884-9427. And Miss Caroline is here to be able to answer your phone call if you've got any questions that you'd like to or comments you'd like to pass along this evening. But also, you can text us at 577-1296. And that comes right to the screen right here in front of me. And we'll be certainly glad to respond with you today. But it's been a kind of a crazy day. But first of all, let me weatherize. But let me get into traffic because I know some of you are on your way home. And you are maybe in the midst of it's It's not too terrible. I mean, it's been worse, obviously. We've seen some worse situations on the traffic maps. But let me just zoom out here for just a little bit. And we'll just go north, south, east, west. How about that? And let's see. Up here near, near Sam's Gap. It's on the Tennessee side. There's a little bit of a slowdown headed up the mountain as you come out of, down next to, well, not quite down to Irwin. It's more or less between Flag Pond and the top of the mountain. There is a little bit of a slowdown coming up the mountain. And so, again, the I-26 that would be eastbound coming over top of the mountain there at Sam's Gap. But it's smooth sailing all the way down into Asheville until you get to the interchange there where Patton Avenue comes in. And then we've got some slow traffic on I-26 westbound trying to get across the Jeff Bowen Bridge and going the other way, going eastbound. So, yeah, you're going to see a little bit of a slowdown there as the evening traffic tries to merge in headed toward Asheville. And then it opens back up and the speed gets back to normal until you get down past the river on I-26, where on the westbound side is a little bit of slowdown coming into Asheville. And it's slow on the westbound side all the way from the airport, just a little past the airport, all the way up past Lake Julian there at the Long Shoals Road exit of 146. And, underneath the parkway and down the hill. So you're going to see problems on the westbound side headed into Asheville on I-26. 191 there at Avery's Creek at the red light at 146 is heavily congested right now. And over there at Clayton Road at the intersection there at the red light, got some traffic back up there. You might have to sit a little bit, but not bad. It's been worse. I've seen it backed all the way out, way on out there past the Arboretum and all the way out to I-26 going that way. So that's good. Coming on down through Henderson County and on I-26, both directions looking good. Yep, we'll slip off the mountain here in just a minute. East to west of I-40 all the way from Hickory is looking good. Coming into Asheville and westbound, no problems there. And, of course, going toward Tennessee, I-40 westbound. And we could probably record this and we could put it on every day. And it would certainly not much change this time of day given the traffic situation on I-40 west. It's right there. It's backed up at the beginning of Waterville Lake. And it's not back to Shelton Laurel like it has been, but it is slow, but moving. It's really, really dark, so it's pretty much sitting still down next to the river as you head towards Harmon's Den. And again, they're still posting that road is going to be closed until May the 20th. I don't know if they're going to be able to meet that deadline because that is coming up in a hurry, like next Friday. So they've got another week if they want to stay on schedule regarding the deadline. But you can't really count on that too much because of delays and weather and all that stuff. So again, we're hoping that it'll open back up before next weekend, just in time for the tourist season. But right now, it is backed up quite a ways on I-40 westbound. Just this side of the Harmon's Den exit. Slipping down off the mountain, going down into I-26 into Spartanburg County. Smooth sailing all the way down till you get, even into Spartanburg's looking good right now. But the typical hot spots between Greenville and Spartanburg on I-85, particularly there at Highway 14, between the BMW plant and the airport, you're going to see delays on I-85 south, and it seems to be confined to the southbound side today as you head down toward the airport and past the airport as you head on down toward Greenville. But things open up pretty good as you get closer down toward 385 at the interchange there. So not too bad for a Friday afternoon. It really, I mean, I'm surprised. I really am. Because of the time of the week and time of the day, traffic is moving along fairly well. So that's good news. And of course, if you zoom out any further, I see red everywhere. Of course, in the big cities, you will. Atlanta, Charlotte, Knoxville, all of that is heavily congested right now. But here in our area, looking really, really good for traffic. Well, we've had just the mixed bag of weather today. We sure have. We started out early this morning with rain. We had rain at our house down at Saluda and headed out in rain this morning, just a light drizzle and a little heavier shower in downtown Saluda, if you want to. We call it downtown, but if you blink, you'll miss it if you drive down through downtown Tuxedo or down through downtown Saluda, I should say. But we did have some a little heavier rain earlier today. But with the heating of the day, we've got the radar kind of dotted everywhere except right over us. And what I mean by dotted, we've got these little bands of, they're really not bands. They're just kind of isolated showers and thunderstorms. And got some one particular cell getting close to Robbinsville right now. It is headed west. And I don't know if we spoke about it yesterday much, but this is not the typical path that we see most of our storms take. With this low sitting off of the coast of Florida, northern Florida and southern Georgia, that thing's just been sitting out there spinning all week long. And it's been funneling the moisture in a counterclockwise direction back over the Carolinas and has led to major coastal flooding and some severe weather down on the coast. And but we've seen some of these pop-up showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. But as it was commented on earlier, we don't see, we've not had any heavy rainfall here at the studios, but there is a pretty good cell just to the west of us. And let me see if I can zoom in there just a little bit more. Yeah, it's headed out towards Silva. And it's just there in Jackson County. And so we could see there's some heavier rain in that direction. So if you're traveling, it's north of Toxaway, right there above Tuckasegee. And toward going toward Webster, Dillsboro. And so that cell could get a little bit more active. Some further out west of us there, out toward Robbinsville, Lake Santilla, out that way. It's got some heavy rain in that direction. But looking back toward the east, there's just some spotty stuff. There's a big cell over Rutherfordton right now. So if you're traveling out Highway 74 and you're headed out, well, Highway 64 down through Lake Lure, and out toward Rutherfordton, you could have some heavy rain there. But everywhere else, it's just going to be scattered. And that's what they're calling for throughout the evening and tonight. About a 60% chance of some rain. And we didn't quite, I don't think we got quite to that 72. We're sitting at 70, and we're dropping quickly, 69.9. We're forecasted to get to that 72-degree mark today, but I don't know if we got there. Maybe in some other areas, even though they're right now 74 out toward Hendersonville, 72 in Asheville. But right now with the rain showers moving through, they're a little cooler in the upstate. Down near Greenville, 66. Around here in Pickens, 68. And so they're a little cooler with these rain showers moving through. And we're going to stick with this pattern through the weekend because of that low that's sitting out there spinning around. So we're going to see about 30% chance tonight with a low around 55. Could be a thunderstorm mixed in with it tonight. And for Saturday, a 70% chance of rain, mainly after 10 o'clock, maybe a thunderstorm as well. Temperatures are going to be mild, of course, although 76 for our high tomorrow, but they're not calling for a washout, only about a tenth of an inch or so with these systems moving through. So not going to be a widespread event. Saturday night, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms with a low near 56. Now, of course, with these thunderstorms, you could see a little bit more than just that tenth of an inch. Of course, with these thunderstorms putting down quite a bit of rain in a localized area, but showers kind of dissipating by Monday. We're going to stay with about a 60% chance Sunday, and 30% chance Sunday night, and a 30% chance on Monday. But we're going to be warm. Temperatures at night in the mid-50s to near 60, and highs, we're going to get into the low 80s on Monday, middle 80s here in the mountains by Wednesday. Yeah, we're going to see 86 on Thursday. Wow. So getting toward the end of May, going to feel like the humid days of summer. That's no question about that. Yeah, and if you haven't marked it, mark your calendar, I guess, if you're keeping time. The lunar eclipse going to be on Sunday night, about 10:30 or so. So you can get, if the clouds part out and you're able to see, get you a good pair of binoculars or a telescope, and you can watch the lunar eclipse. Last about an hour on Sunday night, starting at about 10:30 or so. Well, let me thank some dear folks that's standing with us today, and I appreciate so much Gary and Sherry Peacock. They are our sponsors today of the general operating budget of Anchor Broadcasting, and they are doing this in honor of the Lord and His faithfulness, and we can't say enough about that. The Lord sure has been good to us all, and we honor Him today and His faithfulness. Appreciate Gary and Sherry Peacock standing with us, providing the listener's portion of the general operating budget for today. The network budget being sponsored by Derek and Charlotte Tilly in honor of the congregation of the Upper Peachtree Baptist Church in Murphy, way out in Murphy, all the way out to the tip of North Carolina, Murphy, North Carolina. Brother Derek is the pastor there at the church, and he and his wife love their church family. And we do appreciate so much Pastor Derek and his wife, Miss Charlotte Tilly, standing with us, providing the listeners portion of the network budget for this Friday, May the 13th. And hello to the congregation out there at the Upper Peachtree Baptist Church in Murphy. Thank you for honoring your pastor. And of course, thank you so much for standing with us here at Anchor Broadcasting. Well, we knew it was warm yesterday. It got up to 78 degrees. And we won't have our official high for today recorded till tomorrow, low 45. And, yeah, we got a little over a tenth of an inch of rain, about 1.11 inches of rain over the last 24 hours or so. And so, yeah, it's these showers can certainly knock the dust down. We certainly need it. Boy, the pollen has been incredible over the last several days. And with the dust combined with that, it has been, you can tell my voice has not been the greatest over the last several days, really. I mentioned it at Swap Shop today. I went and mowed the grass there at the church yesterday afternoon, and it was so dusty. And, of course, started cutting that grass. My eyes and my throat, I could feel it. And I felt my nose started closing up with all that dust and everything. So it began to, give me a hard time. And then getting hardly sleep last night, much of it because of it. And try to take something for it, you know, and it just kind of makes you kind of groggy all day long. But then again, we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Thanks for the showers, Lord. We appreciate that. And we could see some more of that as we go through the weekend. And we praise His name for that. Well, a couple of things that Miss Caroline pointed out to me. Just wanted to know that usually around this time of the year, the coyote sightings in North Carolina spike during the spring. And matter of fact, I saw where the other day where somebody actually, thought it there was a pup. It was a coyote pup that they thought was a regular dog pup, and they took it home with them. And found out that it was actually a coyote pup that it got separated from its wild parents. And so, again, you're going to probably see, coyotes are pretty good at avoiding people. But because this time of year, They scour a larger area for food for their young, and so they tend to want to get into some more populated areas. So if you see a coyote, be careful. You can do some things. So obviously, secure your trash and don't feed them. Certainly don't feed them. That is for sure. Don't feed them. And you might want to go ahead. If you've got small pets, make sure you keep them inside. Or if you've got a leash, put them on a leash or in a fenced-in area. Do that. Make sure that you keep them, because they are predators, by the way. You certainly know that. And so keep an eye out for that. I've seen a few little old foxes down our way there of an evening and early of the morning. So, again, they are predators, and they're out feeding. And it's this time of year when they've got little ones to feed. And so be mindful of that. And, again, if you've got places where they can hide, you know, obviously close those things off. And, you know, they like about anything. So if you've got animal feed bowls outside, keep those put up. And you can just kind of beware if you live out in the country like most of us do. You're going to see some of this, and along with a lot of other wildlife. I've been watching the turkeys lately. They've just been strutting their stuff here lately. It's springtime here in the mountains, and so be careful and watch out for that. And speaking of feeding babies, I hope and pray that, I mean, of course, the national narrative right now is that we're hearing a lot of stuff about the babies and regarding infant formula, and it's scarce. It's getting scarce, really is, and it's making national news and national headlines. It's caught the attention of the White House, and of course a lot of things have contributed toward the shortages that we have been experiencing. And so that being said, we certainly are mindful of that, and hoping and praying that some solutions can be obtained over the next several days, because as it stands right now, a lot of places are running out. You've heard the news, and I hope if you've got issues, maybe parents can contact their pediatricians. A lot of them keep some of that, at least the special formulas, on stock at their pediatrician's offices. Hopefully, with production beginning to ramp up a little bit, and we could go through the whole list of issues. But it's, you know, used to, you wouldn't see a lot of the economic, the basics of the economic chain, you know, when you had adequate supplies and you had adequate supply chains and all of that stuff that normally work around the clock, and the chain keeps going and the needs are met. But with the things that have happened in our country over the last several years, particularly the last 2 or 3 years, in regarding the virus and the political arena and the volatileness of that and all of that stuff, there's certainly folks trying to throw the blame game around. And I'm certainly not going to get wrapped up in that this evening, although there are issues which need to be addressed without a doubt. And so that being said, we're certainly praying that things get worked out and these the shelves can start to be stocked with the necessities. And I don't want to. There are. I would consult your pediatricians if there are alternatives. Make sure that you make yourself available for that. And you know, it may be we need to get back to being able to do some things the old-fashioned way. At least for those who do or not at risk for other problems, but certainly get a hold of your doctor. And and of course, if we have more news about that, we'll certainly pass that along to folks. I saw a disturbing article though today, which really, really bothered me, regarding if it is any truth to it at all. And of course, you know, we tend to make sure and verify things before we lend any truth to it. A lot of that product that I was speaking about just a moment ago has found its way to the border. And of course, we know how volatile that is. And to be able to hand out freely to those coming across our borders illegally. And so that's just very disturbing. And I don't know. But again, appreciate, I saw that. These pictures are being released. I appreciate 1098. The pictures are being released by certain members of Congress, shipping tractor trailer loads of this baby formula to the border. Now, again, I hope and pray that if these facts are true, something can be done about that. Because, I tell you, people don't understand. When you get in the way, and of course, most of us understand, those that are under the sound of my voice understand, you really don't want to get in the way of what we have termed here in the mountains, and of course across the country, as that mama bear syndrome. You know what I mean? That mama bear syndrome. And, we talk about it here in the mountains. We've told people, just don't get around bear cubs. Don't get in the way. When you see bear cubs, understand that mama's nearby. She's very aware, and she's understanding. You know, she's constantly aware what her babies are going through and what their needs are. And we've kind of labeled that as the mama bear syndrome. Well, you know, there is this God-given and God-produced reaction, I believe, in the heart of a mother, a human mother, that, when her child is in need, in desperate need, that she will find a way, if she's any mother at all, to find a way to provide the needs for her children. And one of those needs, obviously, is feeding them. And when that need is being called into question, and when things get in between trying to meet that need, there's going to have to be some reckoning. There's going to have to be some questions asked. And I pity the ones that get in the way. And I applaud these mothers that are making they're making a cry. They're making a national plea, and it really needs to get the ear of some lawmakers. I'm telling you, stop making it such a political issue, and let's take care of the very vulnerable. I mean, my goodness, we've got to provide for the needs of the vulnerable, the most vulnerable. It's not like, there's money to be used to be bought, to buy the formula and whatever's needed for the child. It's not like, and there's programs in place to help meet that need. But when you don't have it to provide, and I realize there was a recall for it, a recall because of a safety issue. Yeah. And I realize that, they want, and of course, it goes right on down the line, the supply chain and getting the ingredients and all that stuff. And but I applaud the mothers that are making their cause known. And that's what it's going to take in this day, because when you start denying the very basics, especially to the vulnerable, the very vulnerable of our society, you're just rubbing the cat the wrong way. Just telling you, you're just rubbing the cat the wrong way. You're right. He's helping everybody but America. You got that right. That is for sure. Well, let me just pause. Let me shift gears here for just a minute, because if you don't, I'll keep myself going, and we won't get to what I need. Let me back up here a little bit, and let me share another couple things with you. Let me see. The Blue Ridge Community College, they're hosting graduation ceremonies tomorrow, honoring the class of 2022. And so, again, that takes place at 9 and 11:30. And so congratulations to our graduates. And again, we had our graduation ceremony here at the Anchor Baptist Academy last night, and they've enjoyed their annual field day today, or field trip today. And so congratulations to our graduates and all of our graduates coming up soon. Before we know it, we'll have all high school graduations coming up and college graduates as well. And so we'll be saying more about that in the coming days regarding graduation. So again, congratulations to each one of you, and hope that that the Lord has blessed you, and hope that you will be blessed and keep the Lord in your life as you start your journey post graduation. Well, I thought this was going to be so. They were calling for May the 20th for the current timeline to complete the roundabout here. So they're saying the completion for the roundabout there in Pisgah Forest, late July of 2022. Of course, the roundabout is a part of a larger project that's connecting the Davison River Village Connector, linking Asheville Highway and Hendersonville Highway. It's going to be one of those situations we're just going to have to continue to deal with over the next, maybe they'll get it opened enough, but they're hoping to have that at least 64 open up by the 20th of next week, May the 20th. So they're getting that culvert all put back together. Maybe they'll have that opened up. And speaking of the roundabout right there where the, as you go out, Acosta Road there, that roundabout, please pray for the one that was injured. I heard Pastor mention it the other day, the motorcycle accident that happened there. And I want to thank all the folks who stopped and helped that individual. And we did get a prayer request today. Pray for that individual who was injured in that motorcycle pretty seriously and is hospitalized. So pray for that individual that God would strengthen them in these days. And it sometimes can be confusing. And that intersection, about the time everybody gets used to it, and then we'll get used to a bigger one. It's getting to be a bigger one out there on Highway 64 and, of course, 280 and all of that. So it's going to be something. Well, let me back up a minute. I wanted to touch on this before we go this evening. Someone asked me one time, said, "Preacher, how do we pray for America?" I know we play a lot of songs about praying for America, praying for objects of prayer, praying for missionaries, praying for pastors, praying for churches. And, right now, the primaries, I think if I've got my dates right, the North Carolina primaries are on next Tuesday, the 17th. Early voting, I think, closes tomorrow. And, of course, the primaries are Tuesday, and we've got, which, of course, leads up to the midterm elections coming up in November. And, the issues facing America today are important that we really need to be consulting. And I don't mean consulting. I think we need to be in earnest prayer. Forget the word consulting. Well, you can take consulting in the fact that you need to be making yourself aware of our situation in regards to candidates and the platforms and the situations that are facing America and what's going to be brought to the forefront coming Election Day in November. And so you say, "Preacher, how do we pray for that?" Well, I find that in 1 Timothy 2, Paul is exhorting young Timothy. And he exhorts him by saying, "I exhort you that first of all that prayers, that be made for all the saints," and that there's the exhortation of prayer. But what can we expect? We need to encourage one another to pray. But how can we expect God to do anything for our country if we have neglected the greatest tool in the Christian's arsenal? Yeah, you can put on the whole armor of God, and you can take up the shield of faith, and you can have the sword of the Spirit in your hand. But where are the prayer warriors of this day? I appreciate their efforts this weekend coming up, you know, for prayer walks going on in Brevard and in Rosman that's going on next week, and prayer walk going on this week. We just had the National Day of Prayer not so long ago. But, you know, we need to be praying. Right now, there's not a whole lot of peace going on, as Paul said in verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. there's not a whole lot of peace. There's a lot of uncertainty in our society. There's a lot of, and I'll just say this, there's a lot of background noise. There's a lot of noise. I was telling Caroline a little bit ago, sometimes I wish I didn't have to listen to the news because of the noise. And I think that if we really get business down the business of the it really is a business, the business of prayer. And if we really take into account of how we ought to pray for our country, I'm reading the Bible where there are many times there were people that prayed for a nation, for their nation. Moses prayed in Exodus 32. He prayed that, you know, that in compassion, he interceded for them. You know, and of course, you know, the children of Israel weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And Moses besought the Lord and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast wrought and brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" And so he interceded. He had a prayer of compassion. And the Bible tells us in verse 14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Yeah, I'm amazed that the power of intercessory prayer. Moses prayed a prayer of compassion. But you know, same issue with Joshua as he got him down there to the Jordan. And there were some that just, you know, they just wanted to stay on the other side. And when God's plan was to get them across Jordan and into the land of promise, and Joshua was upset with the people, and he said, "Look, you know, why do you want to stay here? You know, and you know," he said, "it's time to get up. It's time to move." And of course, Joshua got on his face before the Lord, and the Lord told Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying here on your face?" But he says, "Listen here, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their stuff." You know, they did things that God had told them not to do. And you know, Joshua prayed for the nation on their behalf. Of course, we know the story of Elijah, how he prayed, and you know that, and God intervened there. Of course, he intervened in judgment over the people. So you say, "Well, preacher, what do we can do? What do we need? How do we need to pray in these days?" Well, I can tell you this. I was reading over there in the chapter before. We quote a lot. We quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 a lot, but you got to go back and read Solomon's prayer in chapter 6, because it really will enlighten us. His prayer was specific in relation to the nation of Israel. Verse 12 tells us it was a public prayer. "Let's not be afraid to stand in public. He stood in the presence of the congregation and prayed for a nation." It was a prepared prayer. Solomon made a scaffold and stood up where everybody could see. And it was a passionate prayer in verse 13. He spread his hands forth toward heaven. And then if you'll read on, it was a prolonged prayer. From verse 14 to verse 41, he prayed a prayer. You know, how long do our prayers last these days? I'm not talking about making much of our prayers. I'm not talking about getting out there and, you know, making a spectacle of it, or how short or how long or how loud or how soft. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Well, we actually spent time praying. It was a prolonged prayer. And then, of course, it was a prayer. Now, I said, wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean prayer? It was a prayer that actually was about prayer. He mentioned in those verses, in 28 verses, there were 34 references to praying. He mentioned the word prayer 15 times, or prayeth. He used the word supplication 6 times. And he used the word hear or hearken 11 times, confess 2 times. I mean, it was about getting down to business to praying. And then, of course, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, it was a powerful prayer. Because you know what happened? In verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Yeah. I mean, when it was detailed, when it was specific, when he got down to the business of praying, the fire fell. And I believe Solomon prayed for specific things. He begged God, number one, he prayed a prayer of recognition. He begged God to look upon him. He prayed that God would look upon them as a nation. He prayed that the Lord would take revenge, a prayer of revenge, that the Lord would take, and would recompense the things that had been done to Israel by their enemies. It was a prayer of repentance. Solomon prayed for his people to be forgiven when they acknowledged their sin. In verse 26 through 31, he prayed a prayer of restoration, to be restored. You know, how many of us would just love to not hear the word COVID again, or not have to hear about the things going on with shortages and all the things that plague us day by day, the pestilences and the drought. And what I mean by drought, I mean things are drying up, folks. I'm not talking about just the land in regards to dust. I'm talking about the very necessities of life. They're beginning to dry up. It was a prayer of restoration. It was a prayer of revelation. Solomon prayed that God would reveal himself, that all the people of the earth would know that he is God, in verse 33. And then in verse 34 and 35, he prayed for reinforcements. You know, we need a resurgence and a reinforcement of national patriotism in this country. That once again, we'll stand by the values of this nation, be proud of what our forefathers stood for, and be patriots again, to be Americans again, to stand up, and for those to stand arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder in this day. And pray that God would reinforce that. God would endeavor to help our military and all those that protect us and keep us out of harm's way. God, it was a prayer of reinforcements. But he also prayed in verse 36 through 39 that Solomon prayed that if a prayer of recovery. You know, that if the people are taken away captive, that they would repent and would return. You know, in those days, you know, the enemy would come in like a flood and take those away captive. And a lot of people today are being held captive by many devices of Satan, so many devices. It used to be in the day where you preached against alcohol and television, and now it's drugs and pornography and all those things, which, again, in combination, have plagued the minds of our young people today, and sadly many of them for them they seem like there's no recourse. We need to really be praying that God would intervene, and that comes from God's people praying and us intervening, that God would recover a nation that has gone wayward. And then there's the prayer of remembrance. Solomon prayed a prayer of remembrance that the Lord would remember the mercies
of his father David and to let God's people rejoice. You know, I remember reading through the Bible and when David had sinned and yet the Lord had mercy upon him. David, man after God's own heart, and yet the Lord, when David sinned, the Lord had mercy on him. Time and time again, the Lord had mercy. I say to us tonight, you know, yes, the Lord has blessed us and he continues to bless us. But you know what? Our prayer needs to be a prayer of mercy. Lord, remember us. Remember us. And Lord, have mercy on us. In wrath, Lord, remember mercy. For we know, Lord, that it is of your mercies that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. And so today, I pray that the Lord would help us. And the Lord would, that is, in a nutshell, how we ought to be praying for America. Pray that the Lord would seek out our enemies. We need to repent. We need to pray for restoration. We need to pray for a huge and mighty revelation of who God is in our day. Pray for reinforcements. Pray for recovery. And pray for remembrance. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, thanking you, Lord, for your blessings. But Lord, we thank you most of all for the tender mercies and the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For with it we are kept, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. And Lord, we bless you today, and we thank you for those mercies which are extended to us each and every morning. And Lord, we ask you now for America in the times of crisis now that we face daily. It seems a new crisis is before us. Lord, will you again have mercy upon us? Guide us and protect us as only you can. We pray for the sick, the afflicted. We pray, Lord, for those that are in harm's way tonight. A nation, a world that is at war. I pray for the Christians in Ukraine and all the residents there, Lord, and a nation that needs help tonight, that only it can come from above. I pray for the sin sick, Lord. I pray for the wayward church member. I pray for the prodigal sons. And Lord, I pray tonight, Father, you have your will and your way. This coming Lord's Day in each and every church, as your men stand and pick up the King James Bible and preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that some precious soul might come to know you before it's too late. For we ask it all in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly do pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, again, we bless the Lord and thank you for being with us on board this afternoon. Again, appreciate you staying with us and be in your place on the Lord's Day come Sunday morning. And again, this is Pastor Eddie Connard in for Pastor Barton. And we'll see you coming up on Monday. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a crippled was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are in store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the backs of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going.